Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
The sweet smell of America. That's what they talked about. Travelers to this new continent in the 1500s and the 1600s and the early 1700s. After weeks and weeks of weary, turbulent, stinking enclosure on those leaky vessels that carried them across the Atlantic, all of a sudden you could sense that land was near. You could smell it before you could even see it. The smell of rich growth. The kind of smell that John Winthrop noticed on June 8, 1630. He was standing at the railing of the Arbella. Now, the Arbella wasn't just one tightly crowded and rather smelly ship like the Mayflower. It was a flagship of an entire fleet of colonists, extremely well-organized colonists, coming to the New World 10 years after the Pilgrims had landed in Plymouth. And the first sight of the New World was the coast of Maine. That spectacular coast of Maine with the boulders down right aside the crashing waves, and then the towering pine and fir trees hanging over the water. John Winthrop looked at it, and then he recorded the one overwhelming impression on a June day with a fresh, clear breeze coming out to him. What he wrote was, "There came a smell off the shore like the smell of a garden." Well, of course, people would say today, the politically correct crowd would say, yes, it was a garden. It was a Garden of Eden. Before people like Winthrop came here and spoiled it, it was a natural paradise where Native Americans, allegedly, lived in perfect harmony with the landscape. But then the Europeans came, and they ruined it, and they contaminated it, just like John Winthrop. One of the worst of them, because John Winthrop was, gasp, dare we say it, a Puritan. The entire word Puritan has come to be something of an insult. It's supposed to mean a witch-hunting, intolerant, narrow-minded, theocratic bigot. Somebody miserable. You want to insult somebody today? You call them puritanical. You want to insult somebody in politics? You call them a Puritan. And yet these Puritans, led by John Winthrop, did more and contributed more to the actual founding of what later became this country than the Pilgrims that we hear all about, generally in fairly positive terms, every Thanksgiving. Why is that? I mean, after all, you cannot compare the significance of the Puritan colony of Massachusetts Bay with its headquarters in the town of Boston with the little and out of the way and always insignificant colony of Plymouth founded by the Pilgrims. The town of Plymouth in 1637, even with all of its satellite towns, had a grand total in population of 537 souls. But that same year, there were already between 4,000 and 5,000 people up in Massachusetts Bay, and before 1640, in what was called the Great Migration, just 10 years, an estimated 20,000 Englishmen came over and settled the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was so much more important as a seat of learning, as a seat of power, as a seat of commerce, that by 1691, it simply swallowed up the old Plymouth Colony. They looked on these struggling settlers at Plymouth almost with a sense of pity. They were, after all, similar in their religious approach, but different on certain key areas. They referred to the people in Plymouth as the first comers. They gave them that honor, but not as people to be taken terribly seriously. The Puritans, however, were serious people. Why don't we give them their due? Why do we forget about them with the Thanksgiving story? Well, obviously, a great deal of it has to do with the negative historical PR. I want to tell you today that that is totally undeserved. Very much like the Pilgrims before them, these were absolutely remarkable people. And what they were giving up to come to the New World was far more than what the Pilgrims gave up. Remember, the Pilgrims journeyed from England to Amsterdam, to the town of Leiden in Holland. They were storm-tossed, they were exiles already. Going to the New World was just the latest stage on their pilgrimage. But these Puritans, they were important people with a big stake in England. So why did they leave? They left because of political crisis, the kind of political crisis that eventually led to the English Civil War. And a bloody war it was, a war between king and parliament, between Cavalier and Roundhead, between Church of England and Puritan. The term Puritan was thrown at the parliamentary party, not initially in a pleasant way. It didn't mean the people who were trying to purify themselves, or even trying to purify all of society. It referred to people who were trying to purify the church, to purify the church of its Catholic so-called papist trappings, to get rid of those bishops with their mitres, and all of what were considered the infections of this world and of royalty, getting back to a more pure Christianity. Now, this idea had actually caught the imagination of a great many important and influential people in Old England. And one of them was John Winthrop. His father and his grandfather before him had been very important, very wealthy, influential landowners in County Suffolk. John Winthrop was Justice of the Peace in Suffolk. That was a title of some authority. He was a man of wealth, of prominence. He might have played his role in Parliament, but it seemed that King Charles had designs against Parliament, and so did his appointment. Archbishop William Laud appointed Archbishop of London in 1628, a very bad sign for the Puritan party because Archbishop Laud was ruthlessly cracking down on people, even executing people who he felt were opposing his version of the truth with the Church of England. It seemed a time when if you were a Puritan, you either had to stay and fight, and many did, or you had to consider leaving. And a group of Puritan leaders who met in Cambridge had decided the time had come to leave. After all, what needed to happen was the true church needed to be kept alive somewhere out of reach of the king and his evil archbishop. They had the idea of planting a new colony near that struggling town of Plymouth. That town had begun to actually make some money through trading in beaver pelts. But money wasn't the idea here. The idea was establishing a perfect Christian commonwealth. Now notice, there is something very, very different here in basic motivation between pilgrims and Puritans. Pilgrims simply wanted to get away from Old England, to lead out their lives of Christian commitment, completely separate from any interference. The Puritans wanted something much grander. They wanted to reform the world. And that idea caught the imagination of John Winthrop. After some hesitation, he yielded to the logic and to the pleas of a lot of his neighbors and of his fellow religionists, and committed himself fully to this dream of establishing a colony in Massachusetts Bay. How committed was he? He sold all of his land to raise money for this Puritan colony. That colony, he was convinced, could serve as a bulwark against a rising tide of superstition and disbelief and unchecked Catholic power. That was something of which he had great, great fear. In later times, that Puritan colony could also serve as a model for the restructuring of all of England and of Europe itself into a true Christian commonwealth. Winthrop felt within himself an irresistible rousing of the spirit that disposed him to this remarkable, extraordinary, and daring course. But remember, this was no humble yeoman farmer. This was a gentleman of influence, selling all his lands, risking everything on a gamble. But they wanted to make absolutely sure that there would be as little gambled as possible. Things were organized in terms of ships, things were organized in terms of animals that they would bring along, supplies. There were several dozen ships that were going to be involved, 1,000 colonists who had committed themselves, Puritans, and some people who came along for the ride. But the problem was, what good is it unless you can get a charter from the king? From the king? King Charles is going to charter a Puritan colony, giving some rights to land? to people who oppose everything that King Charles is about? Well, what happened was absolutely remarkable. We'll tell you more about it when we return.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now, 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280, and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Sail for the new world is one thing, but knowing that once you get there and establish your colony, it will be legally recognized by the king, that is something else again. Before we get back to that fundamental question, one of the big questions involving Massachusetts Bay Colony, this Puritan experiment in the wilderness, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the music that you're listening to at the beginning and the end of each of these segments. I find the music absolutely delightful. It's about as close as we can come to music from the 1600s. In fact, it is music from the 1600s. I have absolutely no idea whether this music was played in Plymouth or in Massachusetts Bay. Probably was played at one time or another in the 1600s in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, because these were smash hits of the 17th century. There were 17 editions, in fact, published beginning in 1651 of these country dances from Henry Playford's English Dancing Master. That's the music. The performance that we're using is from a terrific CD called An American Journey, Bound for the Promised Land. The Waverly Consort performs it. It is an EMI Angel CD, and it's outstanding. Again, I find the music infectious. The choral music as well. I also wanted to give you a little bit of a word on some of the sources that we're using here. Probably the most valuable of all these sources is an outstanding book called The Light and the Glory. It's written by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. It emphasizes some of the truly surprising and irrational elements in the story of the founding of America and the American Revolution. It's a sensationally readable and wonderful book. I can't recommend it highly enough. The Light and the Glory by Marshall and David Manuel. Another fine book about the whole colonial experience is A New World. Subtitle, An Epic of Colonial America from the Founding of Jamestown to the Fall of Quebec. The author is Arthur Quinn. He writes with almost poetic and musical skill. A bunch of other sources that I've tried to weave in here, including a leaflet that you can actually get from Plymouth Plantation. Plymouth Plantation is the museum that commemorates the Pilgrim forefathers and their experience. It's a museum in Massachusetts. Their phone number, by the way, is 508-746-1622. 1622, highly significant here. They have published a fine book called The Thanksgiving Primer, A Complete Guide to Recreating the First Harvest Festival for your family, friends, or church. And it's very well done and very useful. I hope well done and useful for you also are the series of history tapes, including what you're hearing today. They are available through Tree Farm Communications. This is Michael Medved History Tapes. We have, as you know, a great number of American Revolution tapes, ranging from the Battle of Lexington and Concord and Paul Revere's ride on through the Declaration of Independence. You can call Tree Farm Communications, 800-468-0464. 800-468-0464. But no 800 number was available to allow John Winthrop and the other Puritans to call up King Charles I. Not sure he would have taken their call either. No one is entirely sure why he let this charter for the Massachusetts Bay Company get by him. Maybe, some historians assume that King Charles heard that a bunch of these Puritan troublemakers wanted to sail across the ocean. Lots of people had died crossing the ocean. Lots more had died once they settled the New World. And Charles sort of heard that they want to go, 1,000 of them, and maybe more later. They want to leave England and leave me in peace and leave me alone and sail off to the New World. Good riddance! So the charter was issued. But there was one remarkable aspect to it, one aspect to that charter that no other charter at the time had. Now, you remember that the Pilgrims had this problem, which is they were responsible to sending all profits and a share of anything that they raised or anything that they made back to investors in London, what were called venturers, people who had just put up some money to help equip their expedition, but really made the decisions for the colony back in London. The same thing was true of Jamestown and the Virginia Company. The Virginia Company didn't come to Virginia, it stayed in London. And you had this tremendously difficult situation of not being able to run your own affairs. Well, the Massachusetts Bay Company charter allowed the directors and the general court, the decision makers, for the colony to be in the colony, in Massachusetts. In other words, goodbye, Charlie. King Charles would have very, very little influence on people 3,000 miles away, especially people as determined and resilient as these people were. How determined were they, you might ask? Well, one of the most famous documents of the colonial period is a model of Christian charity. John Winthrop, just as they were about to land, he by now had already established himself as the natural leader of this remarkably disciplined, well-organized group that was coming initially to the little fishing village of Salem, a village that had already been established, that was struggling along under the unsmiling leadership of a really unpleasant fanatic named John Endicott. John Winthrop was coming initially to that village of Salem. Later they understood Salem wasn't going to work so well. They were going to move elsewhere. But meanwhile, he wrote down and spoke the words of what the entire venture was about. And he wrote this: "Thus stands the cause between God and us. We are entered into covenant with Him for this work. We have taken out a commission. The Lord hath given us leave to draw our own articles. Now the only way to avoid shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must hold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make one another's condition our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in this work, as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us, when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when He shall make us a praise and glory, that men of succeeding plantations shall say, 'The Lord, make it like that of New England.' For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill." They believed the eyes of all the world would be upon them, and their example could help change the world, purify the Church of England, in fact, purify all of society. How close they came to achieving their goals? Well, what kind of place was this New England that they built? Do these sound like mean-spirited, cruel, intolerant, miserable guys? Not hardly. We'll tell you the awful truth, and actually the wonderful truth, about the Puritans as we return.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. To download this history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And for a limited time, when you become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com, everything in the Medved History Store is 50% off.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news! High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden spent part of his Thanksgiving greeting troops at a U.S. Coast Guard station in Nantucket, Massachusetts. The president greeting about 20 service members in uniform and handing out challenge coins. Biden asked by the media what he's thankful for.
What am I thankful for? I'm not joking when I say I'm thankful for these guys. Thankful for them and everybody. I mean from the bottom of my heart.
House Judiciary Republicans are criticizing the president for his visit to Nantucket in a tweet saying Joe Biden is enjoying his Thanksgiving at a billionaire's home in Nantucket, regular America enjoying the expensive gas and groceries. The World Health Organization is set to hold a special meeting on Friday to address a new coronavirus variant. The new variant first detected in South Africa with at least 30 mutations. USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Puritans were not puritanical. You can read any number of books that preserve their letters and their diaries, the earthy love that husband and wife felt for one another is actually touching, and it's inspiring, and yes, it's very physical. They certainly believed that intimacy between a husband and wife was a gift from God, that family, that children were a great gift from God. In fact, were a trust that the Lord asked human beings to keep, raising that next generation for a community of believers. The Puritans were successful in the New World almost immediately. They established this colony in Massachusetts. They never went through a starving time, anything like what the people in Plymouth or in Jamestown went through, partially because they were so practical. They understood human nature. Perry Miller, who was a legendary professor at Harvard, actually spent his life trying to convince America that, wait a minute, the Puritans are far more interesting and substantive than commonly believed, certainly in the popular culture. He wrote this: Puritanism would make every man an expert psychologist, to detect all makeshift rationalizations, to shatter without pity the sweet dreams of self-enhancement in which the ego takes refuge from reality. A large quantity of Puritan sermons were devoted to exposing not merely the conscious duplicity of evil men, but the abysmal tricks which the subconscious can play upon the best of men. The duty of the Puritan in this world was to know himself without sparing himself one bit, without flattering himself in the slightest, without concealing from himself a single unpleasant fact about himself. And you also couldn't conceal unpleasant facts about your neighbors. Why not? Because if your purpose was to build a Christian commonwealth, to build a model society, to live as a city on a hill, well then, you would be judged by God, you would be judged by the rest of humanity, based upon the sins and the mistakes and the cruelties and the failings of your neighbors. The reason that morality was strictly enforced by civil law was that the entire fabric of covenant life together depended on living in proper order and following biblical rules, in joint obedience to laws of God. If some one person sinned, it affected everybody. There's an example. In 1656, a young girl named Trial Poor was arraigned before the Middlesex County Court, and she confessed that, quote, "By my sin, I have not only done what I can to pull down judgment from the Lord on myself, but also upon the place where I live." So did they burn her at the stake? Of course not. They didn't burn people at the stake at that time. Trial Poor's tearful confession convinced the magistrates of her sincere repentance, and they were more than ready to forgive her. In fact, forgiveness was the goal. The ultimate punishment was excommunication from a church. That was a huge punishment. The churches in every community were independent. To be a member of a church, you had to convince the other members that you had had a personal relationship established with the Lord, a personal belief experience. It wasn't so easy to do at all times. And by the way, unless you were a member of a church who had so convinced the other members of a church, well then, you weren't a voter in the colony. The purpose of excommunication from a church was not to condemn sinners, but to let the pressure of their sin bring them back to repentance. How did this work? Here's a fascinating case, particularly considering some current events in 1998. The case is of Captain John Underhill. He was excommunicated for adultery. And guess what? Expelled from his church, that expulsion was the very thing which brought him to repentance. He begged to be reinstated, and at length he was given leave to speak before the whole congregation. Here's what he said. He came in his worst clothes, being accustomed to take great pride in his bravery and neatness, and standing upon a form, he did with many sighs and abundance of tears lay open his wicked course, his adultery, his hypocrisy, his persecution of God's people here, and especially his pride as the root of all, which caused God to give him over to his other sinful courses in contempt of magistrates. He then justified God and the church and the court and all that had been inflicted on him. Many fearful temptations he met with beside, and in all of these his heart shut up in hardness and impenitency as the bondslave of Satan, until the Lord, after a long time and great afflictions, had broken his heart and brought him to humble himself before him night and day with prayers and tears. In the end, he earnestly and humbly besought the church to have compassion on him and deliver him out of the hands of Satan. So accordingly, he was received into the church again. That sounds like somewhat different repentance for adultery than we hear in our own time, doesn't it?
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. San Francisco's school board has ordered 44 schools to settle on new names by December 18th, replacing historic figures they've associated with racism, abuse of women or the environment, exploitation of workers, and hostility to, quote, queer or transgendered populations. Washington High School and Jefferson Elementary must go, of course, along with Roosevelt Middle School and Paul Revere K-8. Lincoln High School also makes the dishonor roll because of Abe's alleged crimes against Indians. Though he commuted 1862 death sentences for 264 Lakota warriors who had slaughtered 800 American civilians. Even Dianne Feinstein Elementary demands a change, because as mayor, she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in a historic City Hall display. This mid-pandemic timing of staggering stupidity has outraged Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and it's appropriate to demand that Kamala Harris take a stand on the controversy roiling her home base. Would she dare support similar insanity on a national scale? I'm Michael Medved. The Massachusetts Bay Colony was prosperous almost from the beginning, and part of the reason it was so prosperous was because so many new arrivals kept coming to the colony, and then those who were already there could help to make money by selling them the supplies and sometimes even the land that they needed. But the whole basis for the colony was work. Work was glorified. Work was doing the Lord's work. And in fact, even the governor himself, John Winthrop, who was so often governor, there were a few breaks. Thomas Dudley took over the governorship for a while. But Winthrop himself would work with his hands to set an example for his people. The important point here, though, was that nobody even entertained the idea that there should be a separation of church and state. I mean, after all, if the purpose of all this work is to create God's kingdom on earth and a Christian commonwealth, what's the idea of a separation between church and state? The pastors of the individual churches tended to be the most learned men. Of course you wanted them to influence the magistrates and the government. Some of the spirit was captured in 1636 when the church in Boston, under its leader, John Cotton, one of the most influential clergymen of the colony, renewed its covenant in the following terms. We do also give up ourselves one unto another in the Lord, and according to the will of God, freely covenanting and binding ourselves to walk together as a right-ordered congregation and church of Christ in all ways of his worship, according to the holy rules of the Word of God, promising in brotherly love faithfully to watch over one another's souls. Part of watching over one another's souls involved some common sense rules. For instance, single people were forbidden from night walking. That was the term. It meant that if you were single, you could not walk down inviting country lanes with a member of the opposite sex. Single people generally were not looked upon very well in colonial Massachusetts. In fact, the idea was that there was an obligation. If single people were unable to start their own households, there was a law that required that any single person who couldn't afford to support a home of his own had to live with one of the town families. Now, in most cases, this was supposed to be a great blessing, providing a warm family environment, people who actually cared, and also providing a model that the single person would learn from.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833-654 pain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your
your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Church service was, of course, absolutely central. And if you want to question the intensity and devotion of these people, you have to keep in mind that these church services in Puritan Massachusetts, it was considered a sign of machismo if a preacher could speak for 2 hours or longer. If he ended his sermon early, meaning, say, an hour and a half, there would be all kinds of clucks and dismissals that he didn't have the strength of God and the Spirit of God in him. Now, they actually had an hourglass in front of the congregation that they would turn over for each hour of the sermon, and there were many, many hours of the sermon. What kept people awake during all of this? Well, of course, they specifically wanted to hear the teaching, but there was another Puritan institution called the Tithingman. And the Tithingman was paid for by the congregation, and he was always watchful for any member of the congregation who was only resting his eyes. Well, you can imagine on a lazy summer day, when you're reaching the 28th howsoever's, the 40th point, somebody might be falling asleep. Well, the Tithingman, paid for by the congregation, was responsible for coming over and giving whoever fell asleep a good poke. Now, the traditional manner was that there would be a feather to wake up the women and a rather sharp point to wake up the men. In Lynn, Massachusetts, the Tithingman had a sharp thorn on the end of his staff for those whose sleep might be especially sound. Now, there's a journal of one Obadiah Turner who gave the following eyewitness account of what happened in church on the first Sunday in June, 1646. As he strutted about the meeting house, this tithingman did spy Mr. Tomlins sleeping with much comfort, his head kept steady by being in the corner and his hand grasping the rail. And so spying, Alan the tithingman did quickly thrust his staff behind Dame Ballard and give him a grievous prick upon the hand, whereupon Mr. Tomlins did spring up much above the floor, and with terrible force did strike his hand against the wall, and also, to the great wonder of all, did profanely exclaim, "Curse ye, woodchuck!" He dreaming, so it seemed, that a woodchuck had seized and bit his hand. But on coming to know where he was, and the great scandal he had committed, he seemed much abashed, but did not speak. And I think he will not soon again go to sleep in meeting. Well, generally, not a good idea to go to sleep in meeting in Puritan Massachusetts. And the colony wasn't caught sleeping either, when remarkable events in England shattered its entire reason for being. Because remember, not all Puritans by any means had come to Massachusetts. Many thousands had, and Massachusetts was thriving. But back in England, there was a Puritan revolution going on. A Puritan revolution that led to the execution of their enemy, King Charles I, the full triumph of the New Model Army under the inspired leadership of Puritan Oliver Cromwell, and the declaration of a Puritan Commonwealth in Old England. So what should that mean for the Puritans in this wilderness of North America? This thriving colony of Massachusetts, it had been created as a city upon the hill to reform Old England. Now Old England had been reformed. There was glorious triumph to the Puritan cause. Some did go back. Some of the younger men of the colony went back to take part in the great events in England. But John Winthrop and others still could not deny the reality of God's will that Massachusetts should continue. Not all the residents were church members. Not all of them were strictly religious. They were all fallen. But yet they felt that this bulwark, this Christian commonwealth, had been meant to be and needed to continue. Why don't we give them the credit that they deserve for their creation of the entire American character, for their creation of New England? Why the focus on the pilgrims, who seemed so much less important, even when we celebrate Thanksgiving? And why did both pilgrims and Puritans eventually come to judge their amazing efforts and achievements as failures? I'll tell you why right after this break.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning Black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of Black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, pick Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved. When we look at the achievements of both Puritans and Pilgrims, we are amazed. Why then were they so hard on themselves? Some 60 years after the founding of Massachusetts, all that you heard from preachers and from scholars was how far short they had fallen of the goals of founders like John Winthrop. Cotton Mather, writing three generations after the founding of the colony, said that religion begat prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother. In other words, we had become just another rich colony, our purpose, reforming of the world, largely forgotten. It was never forgotten. The Puritan conscience could not be stilled. William Bradford, who lived for 37 years and led the Plymouth colony, the Pilgrim colony in Plymouth, felt the same sort of frustration. At the very end of his life, his last recorded words on Plymouth Plantation show that he was deeply frustrated that Plymouth had become just a mildly prosperous, normal town. But it wasn't just that. Both of these colonies gave America the gift of a higher demand, higher purpose, the notion that this country was founded for a reason. They both had that in common. The Pilgrims, much more popular to the current day because they were underdogs. They were poor, they were few, they didn't really know what they were doing, and they came and many of them died, and yet they hung on and survived. The Puritans were simply too successful. They were well-born, they were well-organized, and they were corporate in their structure, people who knew what they were doing and what direction they wanted to go. There was something else, too. Remember, the Pilgrims were separatists. They could sort of make people comfortable with the idea that they were simply looking for religious refuge from persecution. They just wanted to be left alone.
There's something deeply American about that. That's why people always light out to the frontier. They want to be left alone. The Pilgrim ideal captures that. The Puritans didn't want to be left alone. They didn't want to leave the world alone. They changed the world. And that's the tension in America. Individual Americans wanting to be left alone and being thankful to God that they're able to survive. And yet these grand designs, like the Puritan design of Massachusetts, a design to purify humanity and to create a perfect commonwealth. Both of those themes, important themes in our history, vital themes in our history, celebrated on Thanksgiving, part of the heritage of Massachusetts. So important to try to understand these people in their own terms, not to judge them from the all-knowing terms of political correctness, but to recognize that it's because of Puritans as well as Pilgrims that we have the great privilege to thank the Lord that we live in the greatest nation on God's green earth.
To download this history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And for a limited time, when you become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com, everything in the Medved History Store is 50% off.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. Despite possible disappointment in the outcome of the presidential race, Republicans can find reasons for encouragement in the election returns of November 3rd. GOP congressional candidates performed far better than expected, making significant gains in the House and holding their own in Senate contests. These victories have set up the strong likelihood that Mitch McConnell, himself handily reelected, will maintain the GOP's crucial Senate majority. This means that the more radical, alarming elements of the Democratic agenda can be blocked in the upper House. No court packing, no Green New Deal, no automatic statehood for D.C. or Puerto Rico, no confiscatory tax increases. The founders, who provided for a system of checks and balances to prevent too much concentrated power in the hands of a single faction, would be pleased to see that even if a Democrat ultimately wins the White House, the tradition of divided government will endure. I'm Michael Medved.
I'm Al Simon, 91 years young. I created Balance 7 20 years ago. At 67, I went to see the doctor for the first time in my life and found that I had medical problems. He told me that was normal for my age. I don't believe God intended us to be sick and old. I decided to find something to bring my health back. For 10 years, I studied pH and how important it is to the human system. Balance 7 gave me back what I lost by getting older. I no longer get out of bed with a joint discomfort. Balance 7 can do for you what it has done for me and many others. In 3 days' time, you'll feel more energy, less joint discomfort, and clarity of thinking. No doctor or hospital can do what Balance 7 can do for you. Balance 7 is the key to unlocking the healthy immune system. Bring your body back to balance.
Order now. Receive free shipping with the code word AL. Go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Order now and get your free shipping and a free gift with your order. Go to balance7.com. Use the code word AL.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.